Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When some people in the crowd heard what Jesus said, they believed. "This is really the prophet," they said. Others said, "This is the Messiah." But some asked, "Surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So there was a division in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the temple police went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, "Why did you not arrest him?" The police answered, "Never has anyone spoken like this." Then the Pharisees replied, "Surely you have not been deceived too, have you? Has anyone of the authorities or of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, they are accursed." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus before, and who was one of them, asked, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it?" They replied, "Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Search, and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." Then each of them went home. This is the word of the Lord. It was the great day, John tells us, just a few verses before today's gospel reading. It was the last day of the festival of the tabernacles. Jesus was standing there, and he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let one who believes in me drink." Some in the crowd were impressed and said, "This is really the prophet." Others thought he was the Messiah. Others did not believe, not because of any religious reason, but because of a sort of racism. They said, "Surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael told Philip when he told him that they had found the Messiah. "Come and see," Philip answered. The chief priests and Pharisees saw trouble arising from this faith in Jesus the carpenter from Nazareth, or the lack of it. So they sent temple police to arrest Jesus. When the police went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, these asked them, "Why did you not arrest him?" The police answered, "Never has anyone spoken like this." They heard Jesus speaking, and they saw the impression he made on the crowds, and they could not arrest him. Here John introduced Nicodemus for the second time. Who was Nicodemus? We met him for the first time when he visited Jesus because he wanted to have a clear idea of who Jesus was and what was he standing for. Only one man in the whole Bible is named Nicodemus. It is the man in John's Gospel. He was a leader of the Jews, a teacher. We do not know much about him. His name, though, can inspire us. The name Nicodemus is made up of two Greek words, Nikos, that stands for victory, and Demos, meaning people. So this name can be interpreted as victory for the people. Indeed, this just man points to Jesus, who is the victory for the people. Through this Pharisee, John sends us a message inviting us to follow in his footsteps. First, we meet him in a dialogue with Jesus. He knew that sooner or later he had to judge this carpenter turned teacher. He decided to speak to this man of God so he could form an intelligent and informed decision when the time came to judge him in the Sanhedrin. He told Jesus on that first meeting, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." The first meeting between Nicodemus and Jesus ended with the words that are an invitation. "Those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." It is like Jesus is asking Nicodemus, who had come to him during the night, to come to the light. It is an invitation for us too, for as St. Paul said, You, beloved, are not in darkness, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. We meet Nicodemus again in today's Gospel selection. Slowly but surely, Nicodemus is coming to the light. Surely, Jesus loved him, and he knew it. Jesus loves to be and to speak with people of goodwill. Nicodemus saw that the chief priests and the Pharisees wanted to arrest Jesus. He surely knew what some of the people of Jerusalem were saying. Is not this the man whom they are trying to kill? So he decided to defend Jesus, who, according to law, had a right to a fair judgment. In a way, he was also defending the temple police, who did not arrest Jesus, for they had the right to express their minds. Never has anyone spoken like this man, they reported. Nicodemus spent time in dialogue with Jesus, and the temple police heard Jesus preach, so they saw what Jesus was standing for. For the other members of the Sanhedrin, Jesus was only an enemy they wanted to eliminate at all costs. Nicodemus tried to put an end to this injustice. Indeed, he lived up to his name and tried to give victory for the people. For his stand in favor of a fair judgment for Jesus, Nicodemus was insulted by colleagues. They told him, "Surely you are not also from Galilee, are you? Remember the prejudice of the people. Has anything good come out of Galilee? Search," they told him, "and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." Does this echo Christ's words during his first meeting with him? "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" These words from Jesus the carpenter are a teaser, I think. Those from the other members of the Sanhedrin were an insult. The third time we meet Nicodemus is when he showed in public that he was a friend of Jesus, a disciple. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus in secret because of his fear of the Jews, got permission and went to take the dead body of Christ for burying. Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus by night, also went to the cross, taking with him a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and buried him according to the custom of the Jews. Indeed, he remembered what Jesus told him. "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Those who do what is true come to light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Nicodemus came public about his friendship with Christ. Nicodemus's gift reminds us of the gifts the wise men offered baby Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was a gift for his birth. That of Nicodemus was a gift for his burial, or we might say for his resurrection. 100 pounds of myrrh is a huge amount, much more than was needed for a burial. He recognized in Jesus the Son of God who lives forever. This is the spiritual journey of Nicodemus. He first made personal contact with Jesus and expressed his doubts and his desires. That's prayer that strengthens hope. He then defended Jesus' right to a fair judgment. That charity expressed in deeds. Then he publicly showed his love for his crucified master when he helped in his funeral, for until then he was a disciple in secret. That's faith shown in courage. We do not know what happened to Nicodemus after Christ's burial. We know that his spiritual journey is an example for us to follow. It tells us again and again Christ's message: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life."